Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports joining us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things NFL with him. The annual quarterback tiers are out at The Athletic that Mike Sando has put together, and we will go through those a little bit later this hour as well. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. So lots of things to get to for the rest of the program here as well. A lot of your thoughts still coming in on the Boo Carter situation. We'll continue to take those at 615-737-1025, our phone number. I was scrolling around yesterday, Joe, and I heard some interesting conversation as it relates to Cam Ward. First off, I don't know if you saw this, but Dan Orlovsky did basically a film breakdown of Cam Ward and his performance against Tampa Bay, and went through some of the things he liked, some of the things he didn't like, and it's a really interesting watch. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go check it out, you know, on Orlovsky's Twitter account. But he was basically talking a lot about, like, post-snap. So the defense shows you one picture before the snap. You snap the ball, and a couple reps where Cam Ward did a really good job of recognizing the defense getting into something different after the snap, and then maybe one snap where he almost threw that interception on the second drive, where he did not do such a good job of recognizing what the defense was doing after the snap, and the footwork got a little loose and all those things. So, you know, obviously Orlovsky, being a former NFL quarterback, can break that sort of stuff down to a level where, you know, you and I and other people can't do it like that. So I thought it was really interesting from Orlovsky on that point. But Orlovsky was also on with NFL Live, and he and Marcus Spears got into an interesting discussion between Cam Ward and a comparison to another NFL quarterback. Here's what they had to say yesterday on NFL Live.
I know he was the first overall pick, but the Titans have found their franchise quarterback. And Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, I saw a little bit of Jordan Love in Cam Ward.
Sure.
I saw a little bit of that ability to throw the ball kind of unorthodox. The mechanics aren't necessarily perfect, but you can see the talent. But the most important thing that I saw in this game and what I look for rookies in preseason is poise. I didn't see him really panic at all during this game. You don't know going into your first NFL game what the speed is going to be like. You don't have an idea of what the defenses are going to do. Are they going to hold back? Are they going to try to pressure and blitz the quarterback? It never seemed like he was out of sorts. I got to give my big dog Woody some credit because he already mentioned it. The offensive line did a really good job. But we've even seen rookies behind offensive linemen that have time. I watched Dan do tape after tape after tape and ask the question, why is the youngster bailing already?
Yeah.
Why is he starting to lead the pocket already? I didn't see that with Cam Ward. That was the thing that I enjoyed about watching him was the command. And he plays, y'all, I don't know if y'all felt it. He plays with a confidence, and we talked about it in college. You don't know how it's going to translate when you get to the NFL.
Yeah.
It looked the exact same when he was at Miami as far as just the confidence and feeling like I can make any play I want to on the field right now.
So that was Marcus Spears yesterday on ESPN talking about the confidence, the poise, made the comp to Jordan Love as kind of the play style of what he saw from Cam Ward. What do you make of that, Joe, as you hear Orlovsky and Marcus Spears kind of break that down?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one counter to that would be, like you said, I mean, Orlovsky broke down, and it wouldn't be a panic moment, but, I mean, that play, the near pick, and then the earlier one where he kind of bailed out and threw it away,
yeah.
I mean, those are examples of actually you should have hung in there. Or you should have at least gotten your feet set, given it another look, whatever he thought he saw on the near pick, right? I mean, like Orlovsky broke down, and his feet were parallel. Like, he did not step into that throw at all.
Yep.
So those are two examples of him being speeding up too much, being a little bit too fast. But I generally agree. I thought he looked poised, for sure. The Jordan Love comparison, that's interesting. I know someone already has texted and said, if Ward turns out to be Jordan Love, that's extremely disappointing. Really? If he turns out to be Jordan Love, that's extremely disappointing?
I mean,
I would tend to disagree harshly with that.
We went through the numbers and like in the draft process.
He can only be Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, like in the draft process of like what would be an acceptable outcome for the number one pick. And people, you know, people hear like Baker Mayfield and they're like, oh my God, Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And then you look at Baker, I mean, we talked about Baker Mayfield last year in Tampa Bay. Yeah. And then you look at the numbers and you're like, oh, yeah, Baker Mayfield's pretty good in Tampa Bay.
Do that for 10 years and you are your first ballot.
Yeah. So, look, I understand that when you're talking about your number one overall pick, the player that comes to mind is not Jordan Love. It's Mahomes and Allen and Jackson and those guys. And we'll see. Maybe Cam Ward is that. Well, you know, I don't know that we're necessarily going to find out the answer to that this year. But over the next few, we should. So we'll see what happens on that front. I mean, Jordan Love's been pretty good to this point. So I don't know that I would dismiss that out of hand. But yeah. I think the point is not even really the production. It's the play style. Like Jordan Love can make a lot of
throws. You've watched Jordan Love a lot.
Off platform. And he doesn't necessarily have the greatest footwork. And he doesn't necessarily have the greatest mechanics. But he can make some throws that not a lot of quarterbacks can make. And I do think Ward is kind of similar in that regard of, like, you know, you look at his footwork, and we talked about this in the draft process, and I heard, you know, Jake and TD talking about this yesterday. There were some reps that Cam Ward had in college where he didn't even keep his feet going. Like, he just stood flat-footed in the pocket and just slung it. And that's not what you're looking for. Like, it's not what you want.
Like, Joe Milton used to do that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, but, that's not going to work in the NFL. So you can't just be totally reckless with your footwork is. But I think the overall point, other than the numbers from Jordan Love, which, by the way, are pretty good, and there's a reason that all the NFL evaluators, which we'll get to in the quarterback tiers too, think that he's a certain level of player. The point is, like, Ward and his different arm angles, the velocity on the ball, he doesn't always have to be in the perfect throwing spot to make some plays in the NFL level. So I think that was kind of what Marcus Spears was getting at with that, not just the player-for-player comparison.
Yeah. So stylistically, it's interesting, and I can see it. I hadn't thought about that, but it makes sense. But then I mean, most people are sane on the text line saying, yes, oh, my God. If you're a Titans fan and someone said to you right now, okay, you can sign up, you get Jordan Love, and again, we don't know where Jordan Love's career is going to go. No. I mean – it did take him some time.
It's a big year for him this year.
Like Weston Crowe said, it did take him a long time. And I agree, you don't want it to be that with Cam Ward. But there is a difference also in experience, like right in reps banked between those two coming in, for sure.
Well, he's going to start coming in. Yeah.
Exactly. And Love was not ready, but also he did not play out nearly as much college football as Cam Ward did.
Correct.
If you're a Titans fan and they said you can sign up right now, Jordan Love's career, basically the same thing. Sign it in blood. Cut yourself and sign it. What are you talking about?
Jordan Love.
This guy's like injury concern in a tier two QB. You draft somebody 1-1 to be tier one. Sure, you'd love someone to be tier one. If you can have a tier two quarterback for their entire career, yes. Are you crazy? What are you talking about here?
A tier two quarterback just won the Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah. That's the point, right? The point is to win the Super Bowl, right?
Super Bowl. That's what it is. It's
God.
It's to go win.
Get real.
Again, I understand it. You want him to be Mahomes. Mahomes doesn't grow on trees. You want him to be Allen. Look, again, maybe he will be. Again, and people are getting too caught up in the Jordan Love of Marcus Spears just being like, well, that's exactly what he is. The exact same stats is what it's going to be. He's talking about the way they play.
Right.
So it's not even really the number part.
We have twisted the conversation.
Right. But it's – yes. But, again, like, I would probably take both from Cam Ward, right? Like, if you want to – if that's the style you play, cool. It's not perfect. But just the way that they can deliver the football. It doesn't always look pretty, but – And look, every now and then, Jordan Love has some disasters out there. Like every now and then, he will throw some just brutal interceptions. But he will also, every now and then, just make some plays where you're like, oh, my God, how did he make that play? And I have a feeling that that's what we're going to see from Cam Ward, too, right? Like, there will be times where Cam Ward is going to throw some brutal picks this year. There will probably be a couple games where he also makes two or three throws where you're like, I don't know how many guys can make that throw. I can tell you right now, that's going to happen with Cam Ward this year.
Yeah, I'd agree. To me, then you fill in the gaps with on time, accurate, more than not, you know, enough, you know, to move the chains and score points. Ed says, how many times will Titans fans pull the plug on Ward? More or less times than Robbie did with Jordan Love? Ooh, interesting question.
It's a good question. I mean, I got pulled the plug with Jordan Love one time. No, maybe twice. I think twice. I pulled it. So
he played that game against Kansas City. It was like, this guy's never going to be an NFL QB.
That was the first time I pulled the plug.
See, that's the thing. I mean, Cam Ward is much further along than that.
I would agree.
Doesn't mean that he's going to end up being good, but I'm just saying, like, I think some of those growing pains, he had those in college.
Yeah, I would totally agree with
some
that.
Some you can't have anywhere else but the NFL, but I think Jordan Love was he was deficient in reps.
No doubt. And, you know, TD just texted me, and he's right. He talked about that with us on the show. Like, TD was making the Ward to Love comparison at the early part of this year before the Titans ever drafted him. And we talked about that with him on the show. So, like, again, people are getting too caught up in the numbers part of it, which, by the way, numbers still pretty good, Jordan Love. But it's the style of play. Yeah. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of, like, similar throws that those guys can make. So, again, what is that going to mean for Cam Ward's career? I don't know, but it is going to be like the way that they play. It was really interesting watching like Orlovsky break that down yesterday, just what he saw from him in his first start.
This texter, you need to give me your name so I can start, you know, screaming your name all over the airwaves. He says, yeah, tier two QB just won the Super Bowl. He just so happens to be one with a very unique skill set and an unbelievable roster. Okay, so would you take Jalen Hurts as a quarterback?
Yeah, Are we to the point with Cam Ward where it's got to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes, like, or Joe Burrow? You don't want him?
Right. Like, I understand he was 1-1. There's plenty of 1-1s who suck. Okay? So, I mean, be realistic. The point is to win a championship.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on this. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This week's Nashville Best Deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their Lucky 13 Anniversary Party at 800 44th Avenue North in Nashville. A full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art games, and, of course, ice cold beer. Get a $100 gift card, half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their Lucky 13 anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Taking your thoughts, a lot of different thoughts on the Jordan Love comp that Marcus Spears threw out there yesterday.
Yeah, and again, your point was his style, and now we've gone into, oh, that wouldn't be a good enough QB. Like Megan. Great point by Megan on the text on driven by WilsonCounty.com. Says Tannehill's enough to get the Titans AFC title game and a one seed. Who wouldn't want to love at QB? Right. So I would say Jordan Love at his best level. Again, I did think what it was, 2 years ago, I was like, this guy might be stumbling upon some MVP soon. I don't know if that's the case, you know. But he's really good.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again.
Okay, it's a big year for him.
What does that have to do? Well, it has to do with the thing that people always underrate because people always overrate one person. It has a lot to do with also what's around him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Love was hurt a lot last year, and he had a receiving core around him that led the NFL in drops. So there's also that you have to factor in. You know, he didn't, you know, I also would say that last year he did not play consistently to the same level that he played at the end of his first year as a starter. So, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Like, Love's a good quarterback. I think we've seen that at this point. He's a good quarterback that you can win with. Is Ward going to be that? Is Ward going to be better than that? I mean, obviously, like, if I'm a Titans fan, yeah, I would want Cam Ward to be better than Jordan Love. Of course you would. But I'm just saying, like, in the world of reality, it's not binary. Like, it's not Cam Ward is going to be Patrick Mahomes or he's going to be Tim Boyle. Like, there's a lot of ground. Sorry, Tim Boyle. There's a lot of ground in between those two things. And, I mean, go look at recent first overall picks at quarterback. There's a wide margin as to what those look like.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, everybody would like their quarterback to be the best quarterback of all time. I'd like gold chunks of bars of gold in my stocking every year. This texter who continues to not give me the name. Very disappointed in you. Says, God forbid I'd like my 1.1 QB to be a tier 1 guy. Would I take Love at this point? Sure, because it's been so bad around here, but damn. Okay, so again, 1-1. Bryce Young, I actually am kind of excited for him moving forward. Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Sam Bradford, Jamarcus Russell, Alex Smith, David Carr, Tim Couch, Drew Bledsoe, Jeff George, Vinny Testaverde, Steve Barkowski. I'm not going to go into like, you know, the 50s, but you get the point. Yeah, sure. 1-1, you're like, man, I really hope. But we also talked a million times before the draft happened that the top quarterback in this draft would not have been the top quarterback in the last draft or in some other drafts. It was not a great quarterback year. You got to keep that in mind too, right?
You do.
Jordan Love, again, cut yourself and sign it in blood.
Well, and Ward, like I watched him play the other day, and again, like I didn't walk away from the preseason game against Tampa Bay thinking to myself, oh my gosh, they found a superstar out there, right? Like, you know, I didn't walk away thinking that, you know, this time 2 years from now, it's going to be Cam Ward and Josh Allen in the AFC title game. But, yeah, you like he made one throw right over the outstretched arm of a defender, right in the breadbasket of Calvin Ridley, and it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty darn good throw, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good throw. Now, on a week-to-week basis, strike zone repeatedly. Can you hit it? You've talked about that a billion times. That, to me, is still what's most important in playing quarterback in the NFL.
And are you consistently seeing it correctly and anticipating what's going to happen after the snap? You know, are you not by, you know, whatever, what is it, year three for Anthony Richardson? Again, correct. Like what appears to be a very simple read on your protection, not making the read so that you get crushed.
Right.
I mean, stuff like that, you know, that's – We're just going to have to see. Some of that has to do with coaching.
Yeah.
You know, but also, it's just the seeing it, processing it, and then getting the ball to where it needs to be. Those wild throws, there's a lot of failed quarterbacks who also made wild throws.
Well, that's another part of this, too. Like, you know, as much of a LaFleur hater as I have been at times, I don't think there's any doubt that he and Love have been very good together, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere else, would Love be as good as he is in Green Bay? I don't know. Now, Green Bay also doesn't have, at least not yet, a number one wide receiver. So the Titans got to find that too. Like, you know, Ridley's 30. So how long is Ridley going to be that level of a guy? Like, I think there's a chance Ridley could have a really good year this year. And, you know, but at some point you're going to have to find, if Ward is that guy, you're going to have to find that receiver that comes up with him. And is that combo that you can rely on for years? How many more years does Ridley have of being a number one guy? I don't know. And, like, even as good as Ridley is Ridley at this stage of his career still a legitimate number one receiver? And we've talked about this. Or is he a really, really, really good number two?
Yeah. I think he's a really, really good number two. And if you really want Cam Ward to be great, obviously a lot of that is on him, right? But, yeah, do you find a true number one receiver for him to grow with? Is Dan Moore your long-term left tackle, or is Dan Moore a two-year patch job? Is J.C. Latham, is he a right tackle? Okay, so you need to find that long-term left tackle. Tony Pollard's a nice player, but you probably need to find that long-term running back. You know, like, these are the things.
There's a lot still left to be done.
That's all the stuff it's not as important as his actual development, but I don't think he's going to be able to have that kind of success if you don't do those things well.
And we brought up LaFleur. Like, does Brian Callahan have any clue what he's doing, right? Like, does Brian Callahan, is he a good offensive coach? Is he a guy that has that feel as a play caller? Is he a guy that, as a game planner, puts your quarterback in the best spot to succeed? I still don't think we know the answer to all that yet. And we're going to find out more this year. But if he doesn't show some of that this year, then you're talking about probably at some point here another coach that you're coming up with if you're Cam Ward. So there's all that factors in too. 615-737-1025. Titans have made a couple roster moves that we'll get into coming up next. Plus, the quarterback tiers are out. We will get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text from Scott Stanley, my father.
Uh-oh.
Directed at you.
Oh, no.
Says, hey, I was doing something. I heard this wrong. Did Joe just say that the point was to win championships while simultaneously holding the position of chief hater of everyone who's done that, Brady, Montana, and Jordan?
You know what? That is That is, I think that that's a fair point, but I don't think that's exactly. I don't think that's an exact contradiction, is it?
I mean,
first of all, we all agree that the point is to win. Like, the point is to win championships, not have a quarterback who compiles numbers, right?
That is correct.
But my point is, if Dan Marino was in the spot that Joe Montana was in, he'd have as many or more championships.
That's fair.
So, but I mean, that's a fair. That is a fair. I mean, that's a. I like that. That's a lot better than when Stilley tried to get me on stuff. You know.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Your dad really likes to stick the knife in there. No, that's a fair point. But it is, right? I mean, I don't think that just championships tell the story. If they did, then again, Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
It's true.
Which we would never agree with. Meanwhile, on the YouTube chat, he says, y'all really believe Drake May and Michael Penix are better than Cam Ward? Yes, that's what we said. What?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
They might be.
I have no idea.
But all I said was that he wouldn't have been the top pick in the last draft. We were and some people think he would have gone. He would have gone after, obviously, May.
He would have gone after Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, for sure.
He would have gone after those guys. Yeah. I think the highest he would have been in the last draft, and for better or for worse, is fourth. Doesn't mean he might be the best of them all. But, again, we're just going on the evaluation to the point that you get to the draft, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, when did Lamar Jackson go? He was the last pick in the first round.
The very end of the first round, yes. Yeah.
So,
yes.
Go look at the quarterbacks taken before him there. Some have worked out very nicely. Some have not. So, just keep that in mind. And what was that, the 2018 draft? I believe that's when it was.
Yeah.
2018. So, Baker went first, and he has rebounded nicely in Tampa Bay. We would all take Lamar Jackson over Baker Mayfield. Josh Allen went number 7. Josh Rosen went number 10, right? I mean,
yeah.
So just because you're drafted a certain place doesn't mean that it's not going to work out. But I think no doubt that he would have gone probably fourth at best.
And right now, again, we didn't say anything of the sort, Jay Bryant. But right now I'd probably – if I had to, right now, you must pick a stock. Drake May's career, Cam Ward's career, I'd go Drake May. I don't have super high confidence that he's going to be great, but I a little bit more, I think, evidence that he will be.
The Vrapester steering the ship up there.
And you got the Vrapester.
Developing quarterbacks.
They look pretty good over there. Travion Henderson with that kick return. Jeez, man.
They look good.
Tom Brady was
listening to a press conference, and it was 5 minutes before somebody actually asked him a question. They just ran off a bunch of statements.
Do we have that, by the way? Do we have the Vrabel snap off? We got to make sure we always play the Vrabel snap offs on people. We're going to get a lot of them this year, apparently. What's up with the Patriots press corps?
Are you trying to ask and answer a question at the same time? Is that what you're doing?
We'll get it before the show ends. It was another beauty from the Vrapester.
The quarterback tiers are out. Mike Sando does this every year at the Athletic. So we've gone through this before, and it's from, you know, every year he comes out with this list. It's 50 NFL coaches and executives making this list. So it's not Mike Sando just throwing this out there and ranking the quarterbacks. And it's always interesting to me to see, you know, how do coaches, executives view, like, what tier one looks like, tier two. And I think this one, was it go all the way down to tier five?
It's a one-person tier, which is pretty hilarious.
It is. It's pretty funny. And I'm looking at that now. And it's going to be interesting to see how things go in Cleveland this year. The tier one quarterbacks that Sando has put together this year, the first four will be, to the surprise of absolutely no one, Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I think everybody on earth would agree that those guys – belong in tier one.
And this is Lamar Jackson's. This is his first time in tier one.
That is correct.
But yes, I believe that's the clear tier one. I think most people would agree with that.
There is another quarterback that is in tier one who is fifth on this list, and that is Matthew Stafford, who has jumped up from tier two last year to tier one this year. What do you make of that? Matthew Stafford joining the ranks of Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen in tier one.
I don't know. I don't get it. And you got this, a D coordinator says, here's a quote about the, I don't, he's 37 years old. He's not the best he's ever been.
No.
I mean, they could be good this year if he's even able to walk. This D coordinator says, quote, I guarantee all your one votes for Stafford came from offensive coaches. Offensive coaches kiss this guy's ass all the time, especially guys from that system. He's really good, though. I'd take him over Herbert. I'd take him over Herbert because he's a better passer with better timing. And Sando does point out that there was a three GMs, an assistant GM, three former GMs, four other personnel execs, and then seven DCs actually gave him top votes. So, you know, it's weird to me that he would be tier two all these years, and now he's tier one.
Yeah, very interesting. At 37 years old, and again, you know, the current situation that he's dealing with has nothing to do with it, but it is going to be interesting to see if he can, you know, get out there and move this year with the back that's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, they could be special if he can be close to what he used to be.
Yep. Tier two, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, who's number seven on this list, which –
perennially overrated.
Perennially overrated. Jared Goff, C.J. Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. There's your tier two.
Yeah, I think Purdy's too high. He's good. He's very good. I think he's a tier three. Stroud and Jalen Hurts tied for ninth. In my opinion, I think Jalen Hurts is flat out better than C.J. Stroud. I understand that Jalen Hurts, they have a great team. They run the ball. They have great receivers, so there's a lot around him. But it's also hard to ignore, like, his actual performance in the biggest games, right?
Yeah.
So I just think that that's a little bit high for Stroud and a little bit low for him. I mean, I would put Jalen Hurts over Herbert and Goff, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think that's fair. And, again, I understand that, you know, when you start talking about Jalen Hurts, people are immediately going to bring up the roster. And there's no doubt, I mean, the roster is the best in football. So that is part of the discussion when it comes to Jalen Hurts. He also, you know, we dock quarterbacks all the time for not rising to the occasion in big moments. Go look at his numbers for the two Super Bowls he's played in.
Right.
Go look at them. They're unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
Like, he's been crazy good in the big moments for Philadelphia. So don't you have to get praise for that?
No, if you go through any quarterbacks and they're, you know, that have played in two or like their first two and then compare their numbers to what he did, it's tremendous. Another, I think, interesting thing about this, Robbie, is I like that Sando did this. He did the change from last year, right?
Yeah.
So like Darnold, to no one's surprise, he's up nine spots. Baker Mayfield up eight.
Yeah.
My guy Bryce Young, here we go, up four, let's go. I really love that you've got a combined for our beloved, this is our Colts, this is our team. If you combine Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, it's a minus 13 combined, minus seven for Daniel. Oh, my God, you isolated the nay. That's tremendous. And then Anthony Richardson's minus six. Those two together.
He's been waiting to pull that out all day. Look how proud of himself he is in there.
Oh, my God. Please. Okay, give us another one of those. That is an awesome nay. Good Lord. So, anyway, minus six for Richardson, minus seven for Jones, minus 13 combined. How inspiring for Colts fans that you got yourself a minus 13 at the QB spot. Rodgers, minus nine.
Yep.
My guy, Kirk Cousins.
Your guy's the biggest minus faller 12. In here.
Minus 12
for Kirk by himself.
That's the thing. I think he was tier two last year, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
You like that?
Man, Ian's ready to go.
Yeah, he's yeah.
We're ready here.
I'm just going to start throwing out random names.
Ian's ready to go.
Yul Brynner! You know, see if you got a soundbite from him.
I mean,
Julia Roberts!
The tier three guys on this, a lot of quarterbacks from last year that I think could really kind of either vault up this year or go down. I mean, you've got Bo Nix, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, kind of all there together. So we'll see where that goes. And by the way, if you're wondering where Cam Ward is on this, he does not put the rookies in this exercise, given the fact that they have not played yet.
Yeah, so. Which is a good thing to do. I hate these QB rankings that other outlets do, and it's like they just randomly put Caleb Williams 21.
Yeah,
really?
It's like, really?
Okay.
And played yet? So there's that.
And then we watched it play.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome him in, Mark in Nashville, to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie?
What's
Joe?
Up?
What's up, buddy?
Yo, I still see you saying something about my boy Joe Money again. If Dan Marino played in that offense, he could. Joe, stop it, man. Stop it, Joe. You know I'm going to defend Joe Money just like I'm going to defend you, Joe. You know how I am. I'm listening to you, Joe. You're slipping.
I mean, I just I don't know why this is so controversial. I mean, I got Ed continuing to attack me like I need a support group. I mean, like it's you guys are allowed to think Montana's better. It's fine. This is a worthwhile argument, I think, right?
Clearly.
Yeah.
Some people don't think so.
Yeah, and I like arguing with you about it, Joe. I really do. Yeah, the way you're going to come at it, I'm going to come right back at you with it.
I appreciate
but,
it.
Yeah, I know you do, man. I do, too. But I kind of – that list you got out, Robbie, that you just read, I agree, but I don't agree. You made a comment just a minute ago about Jalen Hurts, Joe. Now, you got Lamar that's a two-time MVP, but he's never been to the big game. I got to put Hurts in there at number five right now. Like you say, he's with in the best roster, best team in football. I don't think Hurts gets the respect that he should get. Him in the top five and stuff. And after him, I'd have to put Jared Goff. I'd have to move Stafford back a little bit. Joe, I know you ought to be a Detroit fan, Joe. You never gave Goff his just due. He had a lot of injuries that happened to him. Like Detroit could have easily, if they had home field advantage, they could have easily got to a Super Bowl, I believe, Joe.
They could have.
And Goff has been to one.
They
he
gave
had
up
lost.
70
he
points.
Won one. Yeah, he hadn't won a Super Bowl. But he's at least been to a Super Bowl. I think Goff's better than what people give him credit for. Now, this year, we're going to see what he does without Ben Johnson.
Yep.
But before I go, I wish the Titans fans – I'm not a Titans fan. I'm really not. I want to see him do good. Give Cam a chance, man. Like Robbie said earlier, look how Jordan Love has grown with Matt LaFleur. 2 years ago, Robbie, your team went on a hell of a run, and they just about got to a Super Bowl. Love was hot. Matt LaFleur was red hot calling those plays. I really gained a lot of respect for Matt LaFleur. Now, can Brian Callahan develop that kind of rapport with Cam Ward, get Cam on a run? Now, I'm not saying Super Bowl or whatnot. I'm saying get him to a point where Titans possibly could maybe squeeze into a playoff. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's going to take that kind, but Green Bay has playmakers, too, that the Titans don't. So that's kind of working against Cam. But I'm getting ready to go, Joe. Joe, leave Joe Money alone, man. Respect that man, Joe.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
respect
it, buddy.
Him. All right, see y'all later, man.
I respect him. I think Marino and Elway are – Joe Montana is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Same with Tom Brady. I don't think they suck.
You weren't monitoring your tone very much.
Yeah, you really weren't.
God.
You really weren't.
I actually thought he was in the studio when I – oh, my God, where's Garland?
Where'd he go?
He's got a little camera in the bathroom. Yeah. Ah!
Got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Frank Schwab from Yahoo will be with us at 8. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Play grab ass for 8 hours.
I would let them pee around the field.
Oh, there you go. Chef Boyle throws to the D.
Who checked every box?
Cut yourself and sign it in blood.
I would take Manning blood and drip it around the Titans practice field if I could.
Ain't nobody running the ball on us this year. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, you do. That's a lie. When the fact that you had to preface that and say, I don't always watch you, means you watch me.
It's easy on the secretions.
Anything.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Joseph, with another beautiful job done by Ian Safar in the background, I turn the floor over to you.
As usual, I have to now ask.
How do I turn the floor?
What's that?
I just said I'd turn the floor to you. I will turn the floor to you.
Turn the floor over to you. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Sure. But not this chair. Cannot touch this chair.
No.
There's
a chair in here. We cannot move.
It has marker all over it. Shout out to D-Mace. So
don't touch this chair.
I gotta ask the Vrabel thing there. Who the heck was he talking to? What was he talking about?
He's talking to Paul, of course.
So Paul, I don't always watch you.
Yeah, he was like, you were doing something over the field, and Vrabel was like, well, Paul prefaced it by saying, I don't always watch you.
When yeah, you do, Paul.
Then he was like, oh, you know, the fact that you had to say that. means you watch me.
Every breath you take.
All right, I got two quick. I got too many rants. I'm going to cram into one. First of all, let's talk about coaching. I think we need to play something because it's really interesting. And I actually shout out to Bussin with the Boys, that I saw this shared by them, and a lot of other people shared it too. Pete Carroll asked about, and I don't know where he was. He was giving a speech somewhere with a lot of young people, and they asked him about the difference between the Belichick style, because this kind of relates to the Brian Callahan, I think, the sort of the new age coach and the older, but I don't know, maybe that's too simplistic. Let's hear Pete Carroll talk about his coaching philosophy.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could compare and contrast sort of your philosophy and style of coaching with the other most successful coaches like Belichick we've talked about.
Good, yeah, that's really good.
Other sports like Popovich, Phil Jackson, etc.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a whole array of guys, and they're all different, okay? Let's go to Belichick, okay? okay, let's just start off with this one. That back in the day, you can picture what it's like when an army brings in a bunch of grunts for the first day, and they show up on the scene, and you know, all the civilian guys, and they get off the bus, and they what do they do to them? What happens to those guys? The first thing, the people start yelling at them, right? They start yelling at them, and they start berating them immediately, and they get their clothes off. They put them in all the same clothes. Do they cut their hair? Yes. Shave the hair, make them all look exactly the same, and just rip their ass until they just break them down, and the guys just said, okay, I give up. Whatever you want me to do. That's the extreme illustration of authoritarian, coercive way of teaching and leading a group. It's the most famous, the most successful way in history. It's the one that people understand the best. You beat people down, make them scared, just do what I tell you, don't do anything else, don't take any chances, just do what I tell you to do, and then that leader can count on what you can do. Okay, that to me, that's the extreme authoritarian way of teaching. That ain't the way we teach. Okay? It's also not the way that special forces units are taught. They're taught, now they beat the hell out of those guys. We relate a lot to the process that those guys go through. They beat the hell out of those guys so they'll learn to persevere and they can hang through anything. There's nothing that they can't withstand. But they also teach them to think. They teach them to respond to the training that they encounter during the time they're there, so that when it comes time to function, they can't just do only what the guy tells them to do, but they can think for themselves, they can react on their feet, they can respond, and if they're really gifted, they can make great choices and great decisions to do things that one guy could never accomplish otherwise. In special forces, they do just 7 or 8, 9 guys. And they'll take on hundreds of guys, and they can whip their ass because they know how to function together and work together. And they outthink, they outsmart, they outreact. That's the end of the spectrum that we're trying to teach on and coach on. We're at the other end of it. We're trying to celebrate the individual with extraordinary commitment to practice. Practice is everything to us. We work our guys' ass off. They work hard. They work fast. They compete. They battle every day. But they're having a good time doing it because they know that we're supporting and celebrating who they are and empowering them to find their very best. That's the other end of the spectrum. Does that make sense? Popovich is in the middle somewhere, okay? And who's the other one you asked? Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson's kind of more, we're kind of over here, me and Phil, you know, kind of over here a little bit more, you know? And then Bobby Knight's way the hell down here. He's on the other end, you know? Those are the illustrations. And then it's interesting that the authoritarian way doesn't trust people. They don't trust you because they're afraid that your own personal things are going to get in the way and you're going to respond out of the norm and they can't count on you. It's a great way because that's how you control big groups. We just don't think that way anymore. So does that help? Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
That's good. Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. And it's kind of a takedown of Belichick. Now, obviously, Belichick's way works, but it's a really interesting way to think about it. You think about the old school basic training way. Yeah, you are a grunt. You do your job. You listen to me. You do what I say. Versus, again, Pete Carroll, you go back to even like USC. It's like, hey, everybody come out to practice. Snoop Dogg's at practice. Yeah, let's have fun. And, you know, it helps to have the best players. But I thought that was a really fascinating thing. And we don't have time for my second rant. I'll just make that another day's rant. But I've always respected Pete Carroll as a coach. And I think that's a really fascinating explanation. And I just really think a lot of him as a coach. I love his approach. I love the way he thinks about it. And also, I'd like to say, give the ball to Marshawn freaking Lynch at the goal line.
I was going to say, do you think if he was more of like the authoritarian, would they have run the ball in that situation?
I wanted to play that just so I could yell
just
at him
so
again.
Just so you could yell at him again.
Yeah. Because I really like him, but my God, he made the biggest blunder in coaching history. Like, all those things are great, and he's really good, and he's going to be good with the Raiders. But, like, he will never escape that he made the biggest mistake in football coaching history. Like, he really did. Sorry, Pete.
Thank you, Pete. Nice, sweet takedown of Pete Carroll at the end there by Rex Road. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We will get into all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.